Podcast today's show at rte.ie/todaywithSeán O'Rourke.
And text us as well on 51551. I didn't party, says a caller. I was abroad throughout the Celtic Tiger era, but when I'd paid off my mortgage, I saved a retirement nest egg in a low yield, quote unquote, low risk Bank of Ireland savings plan. By the time I'd saved 60,000 euro, it was worth 40,000 on food. Lots of texts there too. Turning sprouts every 15 minutes is not something I would be doing on Christmas Day. I would prefer to put the energy into something that has a slim chance of tasting nice to begin with. And here's a nice one from Maura McDade. I have just spent 5 days in Nace Hospital with pneumonia. The food was excellent, fresh and healthy, with choices. Highly recommended. Well, glad you're home again, Maura, and hope you're very much on the mend and looking forward to Christmas and perhaps cooking your own sprouts. Valerie Cox, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sean.
Air traffic controllers, a busy time to go and visit them.
A very busy time. Now, Sean, it's a huge operation, very tight security, all about safety. And when you think about it, millions and millions of passengers every year depend on air traffic control. Now, over the Christmas period, 6,000 planes are going to land and take off. And in fact,
where?
All over Ireland. And it's so busy, Sean, that this year air traffic control have managed over 500,000 planes travelling between the States and Europe, because we manage this segment of the skies. These planes may never land in Ireland, but certainly they're going to go through Irish airspace, and we manage that.
So you visited them at their nerve centre?
I did. I went out to Dublin Airport. Now, there's two parts to this. There's radar and then there's the visual. Now, I met up with Peter Carney, Director of Operations with the Irish Aviation Authority, and Paul McCann, who's Operations Manager of Dublin Air Traffic Control. So we started off with radar, and I expected it to be a very noisy place with the controllers sort of shouting at the pilots, but it's hushed and calm. It's almost like a church. They're all speaking very
quietly. You thought
it'd be
quietly. Like a newsroom, did you?
I did, a bit like that, yes. And of course, they all speak in English. Now, this is an international thing, and they keep to these set phrases which are understood internationally.
We have one supervisor who's on you, and she's looking after all of the operations within Dublin's airspace today. And then we have a lot of radar screens here, and then we use them and we sectorise them up. The more airplanes we have, the more sectors we build, so we spread the workload. And that's really what it's all about. So for the moment, we have two controllers working all of Dublin's airspace. And then we have over here on the right, we have what we call approach radar control. And approach radar control, effectively, that job is looks at a range of about 40 miles, and it sequences all the airplanes to come in a row to land on the runway. So that's a really important job. Typically, what they do is they're putting about 5 miles or 6 miles between landing aircraft. They get the speed right so that the 6 miles is maintained as the aircraft come in along the approach. And that gives us enough space to launch a departure in the middle of two arrivals. And that's what it's about. It's moving the airplanes on the runway. So that's a really important job.
CSM 3000 feet, 1013, left turn, lap mode, short 52 Juliet.
The next airplane behind is the Ryanair 10 Roman November. He's at 4,500 feet. He's descending, and you can see the speed differential here, 250 knots, 4 miles a minute.
Roger, just speed to 210 knots.
We'll go 210, Sean Rock, 52 Juliet.
Do they ever tell you they have a problem?
Yeah, sometimes aircraft will have issues, but it's all managed in a very safe way. The crew are well trained and they know the capability of the aircraft. What we can do as the controllers on the ground is give them priority. Some airplanes will have a technical issue, which generally will bring them straight into land as number one. Sometimes we get an aircraft which will look priority because they have a sick passenger on board. In that case, we'll also make them number one to land. We'll tell the fire crew here at the airport they'll have an ambulance ready. So we do everything we can on the ground to facilitate a really smooth and fast landing for that aircraft.
Valerie, the next airplane that you see coming in here is the Shamrock 60 Lima. He's come all the way from Amsterdam. He's about 25 nautical miles now from touchdown, so it'll take about 6 or 7 minutes for him to get on the ground in Dublin. So if we actually go up to the tower now, you'll be able to see that aeroplane landing and the tower controller actually talking to that aeroplane as it lands.
And that's Paul McCann there, Valerie, Operation Manager of the Dublin Air Traffic Control, and before him, Peter Carney, Director of Operations with the Aviation Authority. All very reassuringly calm. Now, I gather you got up into the tower. I mean, the tower isn't just a... there is a real place called the tower that you go
up
into.
Oh, there is a real place called the tower. And of course, passing by the airport, you would see this. It's very high and it's completely surrounded by glass. The best view in Dublin, Sean. And of course, when we went up into the tower, the first thing we saw was that Amsterdam flight coming in.
Tower Rescue 17 located now on a Bravo 7. Rescue 17 Tower to thank you. Hold short runway 28. Contact ground 121.8.
Downstairs, we saw the plane coming from Amsterdam on the radar, and now we see him coming into land.
Yes, that's it exactly. The radar, when it came into Dublin's airspace, he was about 80 miles from touchdown. Where we saw him, he was passed to the approach controller at about 30 miles from touchdown, and now you've had to see him with the tower controller give a clearance to land on runway 28 at Dublin, the runway that's used mostly, and now coming off the runway and will be giving a taxi clearance by the ground movements controller all the way to the stand.
Back over the ground again, Rescue 17, thanking you.
The big aircraft, the Airbus 330 there that you see coming to the holding point, about to be given takeoff clearance, is off to Orlando. So probably
Disneyland.
Disneyland. There's probably a few kids on board spending Christmas in Orlando.
Mark 583, vacate Echo 5, join the Bravo taxiways. Once vacated, contact ground 121.8 from it. Bye-bye.
5 Bravo, 121.8 Shamrock, 583, bye.
121, surface and check 220 degrees, 8 knots, runway 28, clear takeoff, bye-bye.
Clear takeoff 28, straight ahead, Shamrock 121.
Now we're looking at the pigeon house chimneys here. You don't want them knocked down.
No, it's a bit controversial, Larry. We mightn't be everybody's friend after this, but actually they're a fantastic navigation aid. If you look at them, they're painted red and white. That's really easy to see that. When we have people flying in from the UK in small airplanes, 25, 30 miles away, they mightn't be familiar with Dublin, but they can see those two chimneys, and we always tell them, route them out of the Liffey, the pigeon house chimneys, and they're perfect.
It's a landmark.
It's a massive landmark, and as long as the pigeon house chimneys have been standing, we've been sending airplanes to that point as a navigation aid.
I suppose there's always the spire, Valerie, but maybe the pigeon house is easier to spot. But no, the reason I was asking about the tower, clearly line of sight is important at the latter stages of the flights coming in, and you can't just rely wholly on what's on the screen.
Radar. No, indeed. Now, you've got screens up there as well, of course, but it's visual. The whole thing is visual. And the interesting thing is there's another team of people up there. Now, these people only work for 2 hours at a time, and then they have to take a break because you cannot let up. I mean, you're watching things all the time. And there's a ground crew, if you like to call them that. And what they're doing is they're watching visually everything that's happening on the ground. And there's a lot of activity there because you've got all these emergency vehicles, you've got maintenance vehicles, and you've even got a bird scaring vehicle going around.
They think of everything, don't they? Now, last week, something perhaps that they had to deal with by way of a surprise was the complete shutdown of London's airspace after what may or may not have been some sort of computer glitch, but thousands of passengers were left stranded. Hundreds of flights were cancelled. And I gather that the Dublin Air Traffic Control had some role in helping out.
They had a major role, actually, Sean. Peter Carney told me they had a call from their colleagues in London seeking their help in rerouting the planes away from London airspace.
They had an issue with their system, and because of that, they couldn't take any more airplanes into the London area. They had to make every airplane that was in the air in London land, and at that point then they would reactivate the system and bring it all back online again. So for us, that meant that a number of airplanes that left Dublin were not going to get access to London's airspace, so we brought them back home and landed them in Dublin. But on a bigger scale, from our centre at Shannon, we're working aircraft that are, you know, 36,000 feet, 38,000 feet on the way from the United States into Europe. So to give them the space in London to do the job they needed to do and make sure that the system was safe, we held all of those airplanes in Irish airspace. So actually that's a great help to them. In the meantime then, we rearranged the traffic flows that should have gone in through London's airspace. We vectored those airplanes south of London straight into French airspace. So that was how we helped.
We're supposed to be facing into an Arctic winter. What do you think is going to happen?
It's a little bit early at this point to really draw any firm conclusions, Valerie, but I think that the models are indicating that we may get some cold weather towards Christmas or certainly into the new year. We're planning for it. That's what we do. We look ahead, we look at the forecast, and we sort of plan our operation on that basis.
Clearly thinking ahead then, Valerie, Peter Carney there. Safety. Again, a huge concern.
It is. And, you know, when you see the elaborate safety precautions and the setup and traffic control, monitoring all these aircraft as they move around the different sectors, it would actually give you great confidence in air travel. And our record in Ireland is excellent. Peter Carney.
Well, actually, Valerie, people might be surprised, but we have the most modern air traffic management system that exists in Europe at the moment. We deploy it here in Shannon and we deploy it in Dublin. It's called the Coupans Air Traffic Management System. It's also deployed in Denmark, Sweden, Austria and Croatia. So it's one of the most popular systems, and we've been one of the key organisations to develop that air traffic management system.
Now, there is new technology coming down, which is very interesting.
This is the most exciting project in air traffic management. This is a revolution, actually, is happening at the moment, Valerie. And the Irish Aviation Authority is one of the groups leading it, actually. We're investing in the launch of 76 satellites, which will be launched from the United States. These are satellites that will go into orbit, low Earth orbit, around the globe, and they'll give a complete radar picture for aircraft operating anywhere in the globe. So it means that at any point in time, here from Dublin or from Shannon, we can see aircraft anywhere in the world. The real value to this, of course, is if you think back to the Malaysian 370, the aircraft that went missing, means that we would know when the aircraft disappeared from radar. That means that we can tell the search and rescue agencies very quickly that an aircraft has gone missing. We can direct their resources themselves and their resources to the crash site and hopefully help to, you know, to pick up survivors or to save people, you know, much more efficiently. And that's really what this is all about.
Peter Carney, interesting developments there, Valerie. Finally, you were given some exposure to the whole business of controlling air traffic yourself.
Yes, Sean. Now, I have to stress, this was in the training unit and no real planes were involved in the recording of this piece. I was brought into the training centre.
Sorry, I was about to fasten my seatbelt there.
Now, it's very, very elaborate indeed, and it replicates exactly what happens in the two control centres. So, I sat down at a station in front of the computers and the plane started to fly in.
So the next airplane to call you will be this Air Arran 26 Bravo.
Control, Siberian 888, passing flight level 130 for 230.
There he is. So what'll I say to him?
So you could say to him, Siberian 888, your radar identified, continue as cleared.
Siberian 888, your radar identified, continue as cleared.
Continue as cleared, Siberian 888.
That's good. So what about this one now? Has he landed yet?
No, he...
Control, Arran.
Air Arran 76 Bravo, you're clear to Pesset. Climb flight level 230.
Okay, direct Pesset now, climb flight level 230, Air Arran 76 Bravo.
The pilots sound very relaxed, don't they?
Yeah, they are. They're pretty relaxed. I mean, you know, it's a very controlled environment. They know the instructions they're going to get. They're working to a flight plan and we're all working to the same system. So actually, they know what to expect to get and we give them as safe and as expeditious a service as we can.
There's a big element of trust, isn't there?
Huge, absolutely. And you know, Valerie, as your career as an air traffic controller develops, you begin to know the voices. You may never have met these people, but you build a relationship and a rapport, and actually a lot of the trust builds up, and you sort of understand and you recognise the voice, and you know then that you can trust this pilot. And and I guess that happens on the other side of the frequency as well for the flight crews. So you can see, Valerie, Shamrock 65 Whiskey now, he's almost 10 miles from touchdown. Very shortly, he'll join the instrument landing system and he'll come in and land at Dublin.
Direct to Liffey, maintain flight level 210.
Direct Liffey, maintain flight level 210, around 20, Mike.
Well, Valerie, you could have an alternative career. Could you do a Nixer out there for them, I wonder?
Well, Sean, I'm thinking about it.
Okay, look, our thanks to you, Valerie, for that, and also to all the people at Air Traffic Control.